Now stay tuned for the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on 97.9 The Wren. The Wake Up Call talks with the people in Charlottesville and Albemarle County who are making a difference. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. Sunday Morning Wake Up Call joins 97.9 The Wren today here on Father's Day. We're so excited. Thank you for allowing us to be here. We are going to talk today about the perspective on Father's Day with my own father, Wayne Moore. Welcome, Dad.
I'm glad to be here, Rick.
Well, we're so excited to be with 97.9 The Wren. And, you know, of all the years that I've been doing Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, I think we determined, not that I'm very good at counting sometimes, over 20 years, I've never interviewed my father. So it's a blessing. And thank you again for joining me. Wayne Moore, father of three, grandfather, small business owner, and witness to social events and what appears to be important these days, witness to uprisings from the 1960s to today. So it just felt as though you would make a great guest. And I'm glad to bring you in and share thoughts and observations in all those areas.
Okay, I'm ready.
Well, I'd like to know about when you learned that you were going to be a father, what you did about preparing to be a father.
The first thing was I wasn't smart enough to know to prepare, so... it's like everything else. You think you're ready and you think you've got yourself all prepared, but you're never prepared. You talk to the doctor, you talk to my parents and talk to Ann's parents about being a parent, and other people in the family give you advice. But I can tell you, no matter how much advice you get, it's a whole new ball game when it happens.
Was there any advice that you found to be especially important?
No, I think not so much verbal advice, but it was the observation of my parents and Ann's parents, your grandparents on her side. They were really good, down-to-earth, hardworking people, very practical. You know, they didn't go do crazy harebrained things. And I think that it gave you a good basis for, you know, seeing how they parented. You picked up from them, I think, as much as anything.
Did you have expectations that you were... that were out there versus actually being a father that might have balanced well or might not have balanced well?
Well, but the expectations were that your mother and I were still in college. I was in law school. She was teaching. And we were living in Charlottesville, and of course, all of our parents were in Eastern Virginia, so it wasn't like there was somebody right present looking over our shoulder telling us, you know, do this, do that, this is the way. I mean, sometimes we want a telephone calling home, ask questions we didn't know the answers to. So I don't think there were any expectations. It was more of learn as you go. Make some mistakes and try to learn from those mistakes and just do the best job you could do, not really knowing exactly what you should be doing.
We are talking with my father, Wayne Moore, on Father's Day at 97.9 The Wren. I do want to tell folks, take a moment and call the father in your life, whether it's your biological father, someone else that you spent time with who was that important role in your life. Make sure to give them a call today or get in contact and let them know how thankful you are for their presence. Dad, talk about the difference in the way that you were raised in the decades that you grew up versus trying to be a parent in, I guess, when you started as a parent in the 60s and then had more kids, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the hour, in the 70s, about just the difference in decades and culture in the U.S.
Well, one big difference in culture is the fact that neither my mother or my father had a higher education. And I was the oldest child, so I was the first one that went away to college and went away to school. So I grew up with parents who were hardworking. My dad worked with his hands. My mother was a stay-at-home mom who didn't work until later in life. So, yeah, we lived a very simple existence in a small town. I went to Pocosin High School, and my graduating class had about 55 in it. And when I came to UVA, the first thing to do was plop me down in a chemistry class with 250 people in it. So that culture that I grew up in was totally different than the culture that your mother and I entered into when we became parents and we were living here in Charlottesville going to school. I think that, in the 50s, things were just a lot simpler. I can remember the first TV set on our street. I can remember the first opportunity to do that. I can remember not even going on a vacation until I was like 17 years old. So the whole background was different than when we came along in the 60s, because immediately from graduating college, your mother and I were both working, and as each of you came along, we immediately started, doing cultural things. We traveled, we went skiing in the wintertime as a family. We did cultural things, concerts, and going to the museum, the kind of thing, the things that we never did any of that when I was growing up. So yeah, there was a big difference in how the culture that I lived in and I grew up in and the things that we saw. I would have to say that even though our family is a close family, it was only family when I was a kid. I mean, I can remember learning to drive, and there was an intersection that nobody ever stopped there. You just sort of did a Hollywood slowdown and kept going. And I hadn't been driving very long, and I pulled that little trick at the stop sign, didn't really stop. And a mile later, I get home, and my dad's out in the front yard wanting to know why I didn't stop at the stop sign, because somebody in the family saw me go through the stop sign and called and told him Wayne didn't stop at the stop sign. I mean, it was just that kind of small town situation. which I can tell you did not exist in Charlottesville when we were living here and you were born and we lived in Charlottesville.
We are talking with Wayne Moore, my father, on Father's Day as the Sunday morning wake-up call joins 97.9 The Wren for our first show. How did your friends, whether in the small town or whether in Charlottesville, play a role in parenting?
Well, certainly in Charlottesville, we lived over on Copley Hill. We were in student housing. There were a number of married couples there with children. I mean, we socialized together. We babysat for each other so you could get, you know, a night out. It was no more than going to a movie. And it was a pretty close-knit group of married couples that lived on Copley Hill. We played softball on Sunday afternoon, and all the kids got together and played. And we had a few beers and just socialized that way. Back home, when we would go home for the summers and we would be in Pocosin, then it was all about family and that, you know, going to picnics. And the family was very active in church, going to church events, and just doing family cookouts and making homemade ice cream and doing those kinds of things, which was the similar kind of things we did in Charlottesville, but it was all with family, much more so than it was in Charlottesville, when it was all just students and friends.
Did you learn anything, or did the Charlottesville, you talk about living in a UVA housing with other students with children, did that group share any parenting tips that you as a father might have learned or shared at that younger age?
Look, they didn't know any more than we knew. And so it was mostly trial and error. I mean, just some just very simple things. I can remember somebody would be having, one of the children would be having a cold, upset stomach or something, and we were scrambling around with each other trying to give advice and calling home and seeing what everybody else thought. And it was sort of a learning process, and none of us had any more knowledge than the other. So no, I don't think that there was any huge amount of pent-up knowledge that was shared between the students. It was mostly just learning from the mistakes that we made.
Again, Wayne Moore here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, 97.9 The Wren, as we talk here on Father's Day. I'm curious, you mentioned being home with family, the church. Did the church play a large role in life? And I'm not trying to ask your strength in religious belief. I'm just trying to find out the role in helping you as a father, learning about being a father and learning or helping with parenting?
Well, because of being a small town, a significant social activity were revolved around the church. So, yes, I mean, there were youth groups. There were, church socials, whether it be a Sunday afternoon picnic or anything like that. And so you did learn some things from other members of the church as far as what they did. In my life, big key was Ann and I had all of our grandparents were living locally. So my grandparents and my mother's grandparents all lived within a couple of miles of where we lived. So, yeah, we sometimes we got unwanted advice about how to raise kids and what we should be doing, which may be contrary to what we thought you ought to be doing. And we all had grandparents that were pretty religious. They were all active in their church. And if we weren't there on a Sunday morning, there would typically be a telephone call as to where were you Sunday morning. So, yes, that was a influence, particularly from the grandparents. Both grandparent Moore and grandparent Page on your mother's side were just very, very much involved in the family, and they were very influential as we were growing up, and continued to be very influential as we, as we had our own families. And we would frequently visit on Sunday and have lunch. Ann's grandparents, at least once a month, we would have lunch with them, and it was always talk about the kids and what was going on, and, you know, did Rick do this or did your sister do that? And so, yeah, we got a lot of input from them, not always input that we wanted, but we got a lot of input, and we used the stuff that we thought was good and reinforced what we wanted to do, and the stuff that didn't, we just didn't pay any attention to it.
We are talking for Father's Day. Wayne Moore joining us to talk about raising kids, being a father. Wayne's also a small business owner and started as a father in the 1960s. Grandfather today in 2020, so a little later in the hour, we'll talk about being the witness to a lot of social events from the 60s to today with kids and grandkids out there in the world. Let's take our first break and come back so we don't get caught in the middle of a question. We'll be right back. And Sunday morning wake-up call back in action here on 97.9 The Wren. Thank you for being with us. Remember to take moments throughout the day to call and speak with your father or the role player in that position in your life at some point today. Let them know about the importance of that person. We're talking with my father. Dad, thanks so much. I'm always grateful about everything you provided for me throughout the years. We've been talking for the first section of the show about learning to be a dad and any help you might have had or things you had to learn. And then suddenly you go from fathering one to fathering three when you have twins. So talk about the news of having twins in the life and suddenly raising three instead of just one.
Well, yeah, your mother came home from the doctor and said, guess what? We're going to have two rather than one. So that was a wake-up call, to say the least. So we had to get prepared to... We were living in a small two-bedroom place, and we had to put the twins in your room and move you to a makeshift bedroom, which put a little strain on family relations for a few days until we got all used to that. So, yeah, when you have two come, with the first child, I was certainly a father, but I'm not saying I was a particularly good one. I didn't do any changing other than maybe do a little feeding here and there. But when these twins came along and it was both of them screaming bloody murder to have breakfast, then you pitched in and did a whole lot more than you ever did when it was just one. So, yeah, there were some family dynamics that had to be worked out. And you were sort of left out a little bit as both of these girls came along and demanded a whole lot of time from your mother and I. So you have to learn that we had to make sure you were taken care of and your emotional needs. And that was a little bit of a learning process. And your mother was probably much more attuned to that than I was. But I eventually got the idea that everybody had to have their time and you had to pay attention to everybody. But that was a big life-changing event when those twins showed up.
Well, you were also trying to father three while, I don't know if starting your own business is the way to put it, but certainly growing your own business, correct? It's not like you had a 40-hour-a-week job.
No, I was a self-employed attorney, and we just worked a lot of hours. There were many 10 and 11-hour days, and many times I worked on Saturday or Sunday afternoon, brought work home, but went back to the office. And so it was difficult sometimes with spending quality time with the three of you. And when I was there, it was usually a pretty busy time because your mother was glad to have me home and she didn't mind me taking over some of the responsibilities that she'd been shouldering when I wasn't there.
So we switch from the 60s with one kid in the house to the 70s with three kids in the house. Did the style of the decades come through, or did the number of kids overpower everything else?
Well, I think for the first couple of years, the twins were born in 1970. So I think the first couple of years, it was just a handful taking care of everybody. And the dynamics were a little bit different. I mean, you were in school, and so there was homework. You could certainly be entertained some with TV shows. I remember Mr. Rogers and some of the shows that were on TV. And the girls were a little too small for that in the beginning. So with them, it was mostly, you know, reading a book or playing, some kind of toy or game with them. While with you, it was more often, helping with reading or working on something from school. So the demands were quite a bit different between the twins and yourself, because you were 6 years older than them.
But let's go back to the decades a little bit, because that's one of the things.
Okay.
You were up here in Charlottesville recently, talking about all the events going on out in the streets of 2020. People marching in the streets make their points about George Floyd, the events of the police, of Black Lives Matter. And you had some comments on that around the house. And it took me back to questions about what did you see in 1960s that are similar or different from 2020 and raising your kids during that time?
Well, I mean, I think there were a lot of similarities. Certainly, the Vietnam War was not a very popular thing. There was a lot of social unrest on campuses. While I was in law school and beginning to develop a law practice, of course, the draft was in effect, and there was a lot of discussion and unrest about the draft and this question of fairness was apparent. I actually served on a draft board for a couple of years when I first started practicing law, and there was all this question about who got drafted and whether somebody could get an exemption. Those same issues that were being discussed then about fairness and who should serve and what were their obligations to the country in general are some of the very things that we're still talking about now. The context may be a little bit different, but there was this question of fairness and justice and whether somebody with money, you know, could avoid the draft while somebody who, you know, worked on the farm had to go. So, yeah, that definitely was a significant thing going on in the late 60s and early 70s. And the situation in Vietnam kept growing worse. Public feeling about the war was extremely negative. And there were, you know, a lot of demonstrations and a lot of people who were very vocal. We had Kent State. We had all of the things that happened during that period of time. And on the other side, you had all of the things going on in San Francisco and, you know, what I would say people who called themselves peaceniks, so who were in favor of peace and against the war. So very similar circumstances, you know, 40, 50 years ago than some of the similar kind of things that we're seeing now.
Wayne Moore here today is my father, interviewing him on Father's Day, as we join 97.9 The Wren Sunday morning wake-up call. Make sure to take a moment today and speak to the father in your life, whoever that may be. Were you ever concerned at any time during the civil unrest? Because I'm sure you're always concerned about your children. That's just part of the role of being a father. But were you ever concerned during the civil unrest about whether something was going to carry over and get in the way of your family or your children, or even now in 2020 to your kids or your grandkids?
I don't think I had any what you would call safety concerns. That was not something that was on my mind. My concern was more of the impact that kind of thing would have on somebody growing up. What effect did it have on their view of the world? What effect did it have on their view of, our government, our society? Yeah, I realized that they were events that certainly helped formulate my children's view of the world. And there was certainly your mother and I engaging in a concerted effort to try to balance the different views and different perspective that were going around. Certainly being an attorney, I was not a flower child. Okay. I was not advocating free love. I was not advocating living in a commune and, you know, escaping the world. I was trying to raise children who were responsible, who understood the society that we lived in and recognized its shortcomings, certainly, but also recognized the advantages that we had living in our country versus people living in other parts of the world. And I think we, you know, as a family, we did that. We tried to make sure we traveled and experienced a broad aspect of our culture to make sure that there was a balanced view being experienced by our children as they grew up.
Knowing that you are, how to phrase this properly, I think people who heard or who would only see the descriptors as white, male, age group, you know, the age group that you fall into, attorney, et cetera, would probably put you into the X political group, because currently there only seem to be two or three, but who might find it interesting to hear you speak and recognize that you have quite the blend of beliefs. And I've always found that interesting, because many people have a blend of beliefs, yet society seems to have fallen into an A or B, X or Y method of dividing people. Do you ever, through look or basic, you know, discussion, someone makes an assumption on you when it comes to politics or similar?
I would say that an attorney by training tries to analyze the problem and tries to rationally come to a solution. And this is, I guess, philosophical, but in this day and time, it seems like that we have, and I've given it a personal name, I call it the McDonald hamburger syndrome, in that we expect to walk up to the counter and drive through the drive-in, and if we don't have service in 90 seconds, we are upset because the service is not any good. And I see that mentality of everything needing to have an instantaneous answer, a simple answer, and that's just not the way life is. And so, yeah, I frequently have conversations with clients about, you know, maybe you need to consider something else. I, as an example, I had this recent conversation. It was sort of a landlord-tenant kind of situation, and the tenant was saying, I don't have to pay rent. I heard on the radio that the president said we didn't have to pay rent, and you can't kick us out. And there's no question there was this conversation about we can't have people with the virus being put out on the street, so we have to have them be able to stay at home. And so the solution was, well, we tell the landlord that they can't take you to court for rent and they can't evict you, because the social policy is that you have to shelter at home. But I never heard anybody discuss the fact that what does the landlord do when time comes to pay his mortgage payment on his, you know, apartment building this month, where is he supposed to get the money from to do that? And if he doesn't have the money to make that payment, then the bank's calling him up and saying, well, we're going to foreclose if you don't make your rent payment. So we take a social issue. Somebody cannot pay their rent, and they can't pay it because they've lost their job because of the environment. And so the solution is, well, we kick the can down the road and we put the burden on the landlord. And then if the landlord can't handle it, we kick it down the road further to the bank, who now has to foreclose on the property and take it back and deal with it. And, you know, when maybe a considered solution was, if these folks, because of what's going on, can't pay their rent, maybe we should be giving them rent money to help them pay their rent versus putting the burden on the landlord or on the bank. I'm just simply saying that we sometimes look for a really, really quick solution. No matter what your political leaning is, a quick solution is not always the right answer. And we don't take time sometimes to think about all the consequences of the kind of decisions that we make day to day.
Our guest today is Wayne Moore. He's my father. We brought him in for Father's Day to talk about parenting, owning his own business, and social events from the 1960s to 2020. Let's take our break, and we'll come right back to 97.9 The Wren. And we're back. Thank you so much for listening to Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on our first piece, 97.9 The Wren. Here we are, Father's Day, speaking with Wayne Moore, my father, as we get a perspective on Father's Day. So, Dad, you had boys and girls. I'm curious if one is easier than the other, or things that were perspective on tasks or jobs that were easier or more difficult with one than the other?
Oh, yes. When you went off to the University of Virginia to go to college, I remember we loaded you in the car with five or six pairs of jeans and some T-shirts and a couple pairs of shoes and socks and underwear, and brought you up to the University of Virginia. You went in the dorm room, and that was the extent of the requirements to get you in school. When your sisters went off to school, it was a tractor trailer truck load of stuff that had to be carried when they went to school. We had to have, you know, dresses, and we had to have slacks that matched blouses, that matched shoes, that had the right belt to go with it. In addition to all the other toiletries and hair products and lipsticks and eye makeup and all the other, it was a major accomplishment to get them packed up to go off to college. Totally different experience than it was getting a boy off to college.
Anything else?
I recently have heard psychologists and people talk about that, you know, the expectations for boys and girls is developed by the parents. And there may be some truth to that. Don't get me wrong. But I can tell you, little boys go outdoors and they get worms and bugs and snails, and they get dirty and they get grass stains all over themselves. And they come in, they're sweaty, they're hot, they've been outside playing all afternoon. Little girls go outside usually, and your sisters, they would go outside, and they may be out there 10 minutes, and they may think it's nice to catch a lightning bug, but they're not going to get dirty, and they're not going to get sweaty, and they're not going to get down their hands and knees and play with the pickup truck in the dirt with the scoop and put some dirt and gravel in the back and haul it around the yard. I don't care what anybody says. There is a certain level of inborn differences between little boys and little girls, certainly when they start out in life anyway.
So, but all right, talk about dating. I mean, I would think that there's a difference in sending your daughter out on a date than knowing that your son is going out on a date.
There is no question. When you went out on a date, we may say where you're going, how long you'll be gone, who you're going with, and that was the extent of it. When your sisters went out on a date, I can remember one time some dude pulling up in the driveway and blowing a horn. I said, "You're not going out there." Said, "Absolutely. If he's coming here to pick you up, he's coming here, he's going to ring my doorbell, he's going to come in, he's going to introduce me, he's going to tell me where you're going and when you're going to be back, and I'm going to get a good look at him before you go get in the car to make sure that I'm comfortable." So, yes, there was definitely a different level of concern for the girls going out on dates than it was for you.
And how about walking your daughters down the aisle for a marriage? What's that like for a father?
Oh, it's emotional for any of you, whether it's your son or your daughter. But you know, with the daughters, you realize that they are going to be starting a whole new life. I mean, they are going to be having a husband and children of their own, and it's just that you have more of a sense of loss, I think, when a daughter gets married than you do when your son gets married. I mean, I just always felt like that, you would still be, closely involved with the family. And I realized that a daughter would, become a significant part of her husband's family, and it would be just a different experience and a more of an emotional parting, I guess is a good way of saying it.
And then talk about watching, you have kids who've now, I guess, provided and you've become grandparents.
Well, being a grandparent is a totally different experience than being a parent. I mean, when you are a parent, my concern was making sure I went to work, making sure I was able to provide food and housing and make sure you got a good college education and providing not only, emotional support, but there was a huge responsibility of providing for the material needs of the family. And there were times, whether I liked it or not, that took a significant part of my time and effort away from the family while I made those material contributions to the family. With the grandkids, you don't have that responsibility. You can just enjoy the grandchildren. So it's a totally different experience. And I don't think I didn't realize it would be that different. I always heard, people say, "Oh, how wonderful it was to be a grandparent." I just sort of said, can't be that big a deal. Until you get to be one, then you find out that's a big deal.
Sunday morning wake-up call here, 97.9 The Wren. Wayne Moore is our guest, my father, talking about being a father. and a lot of the things that he's witnessed through his own life since becoming a father in the 60s all the way to 2020, where he's now a grandparent. You know, I interviewed my mother, several years ago, and she told some interesting stories. How does a father determine when punishment is appropriate? And not necessarily physical punishment, but some sort of punishment.
Well, I think that we establish with our children expectations. I tried to be careful to make sure that they were not totally my expectations, but that they were expectations that were mutually accepted. That doesn't mean that they always were, because I'm sure I had expectations that you didn't or your sisters didn't. And so, you know, punishment came in when there was just certain expectations that had agreed would be done, whether it was, you know, curfew, be home at 11, or whether it was, you know, how many kids you put in the car with you when you went out. Some of these were safety issues. Quite frankly, the typical 16, 17-year-old is not always thinking clearly. They lack some of life's experiences, and I think that they lack some of the alarm factors that go off as you older and your brain is developed differently. You have different understandings. And so, yeah, there were times when punishment was used. I don't think we were not great parents about corporal punishment or spanking. It was usually more like go to your room or, you know, take the car away for a week or something like that. But yeah, they were times that you were trying to make sure that your children stayed safe and that they were aware of dangerous situations, and that they were aware that they were engaging in conduct which weren't going to result in the mutually agreed upon expectations that we had as a family.
So mom was both a stay-at-home mom for time in life and a full-time career at other times. And this is not after the kids were out of the house, but I can remember her being at home as a young kid, working a full career or going to school during my middle school years or high school years. How did you work that out as parents and with the family?
Well, when you were born, I was in law school, so your mom was working to help support us. After I got out of law school, your mom did a little bit of teaching, but the teaching was, you know, in the local community where she had a real ability to come and go. When the twins came along, then there were, I don't know, a number of years, 7 or 8, at least until the girls got into second or third grade, before she began to work on her career by getting a master's degree and began to, you know, work again on more of a full-time basis. So when during the formative years, we tried to make sure that one of us was always available to be there to supervise and to make sure that you were well taken care of. And I'm not so sure it was a sit down and discuss, we're going to do A, B, and C. It was more of, these are the things that we want to do as a family, as a married couple, and then we cooperated together to make sure we did the best job we could.
Are there certain things that you're most proud of having taught as a father to your kids? Whether it's a task, and I ask this as to whether it's a task like taught your kids how to change a tire, or whether it's something that's more ephemeral or more of a feeling or something like that.
Oh, I think it's a whole lot more of a sense of accomplishment that you as a person are able to make your way in the world. You're able to have an understanding of what it takes to be in a marriage. You're having an understanding of what it takes to be a parent. And that's the sense of accomplishment for me.
Are there things that you hope your grandchildren carry on in the family? Are there routines or tasks or traditions or things like that that you hope that the family, you know, dynamics or et cetera, that you hope the grandchildren carry on?
Well, as you well know, we get together every summer for 4th of July week, and we all go to the beach, and we have great-grandmother and grandmother and grandfather and kids and grandkids and the grandkids' girlfriends and boyfriends or whoever. So it's a really good family time together. I think that is hugely beneficial that the family gets together, and sometimes it's even the extended family. My brother shows up, and your nephews and nieces show up, and we have a really enjoyable, relaxed family time together. Then I think that the other time is we have a very active Christmas family time together, which we not just exchange gifts, but we spend time together and talk about what's going on and make sure that everybody has an understanding of where everybody is emotionally and where they are in their own life journey. So those are the two things that I think are to me have been really important as a family.
This is Sunday Morning Wake Up Call 97.9 The Wren, as we wind down our time here with my dad on Father's Day. Please remember to give some time to the person who's been the most important to you as a father sometime today. So, Dad, just a few minutes left. Do you have fatherly advice for our listeners?
I think my father advice is that, we live in this fast paced world, where we think there's going to be all of these, instantaneous solutions and, problems are going to be solved overnight, and things that, emotional problems and cultural things don't happen overnight. They take a long time to develop, and it requires an awful lot of soul searching and an awful lot of personal integrity and personal willingness to make changes so that you can live together. Those answers don't come easy. So, yeah, I think that listen to your children, pay attention. If the children always have their nose stuck in the telephone or always have their nose stuck in the TV set, I don't think that either side, the child or the parent, get to know each other and get to have the emotional support that they can deal with some of the difficult things that life's going to throw at you, because life is a challenge. There is nothing easy about it. It is not for sissies, I can tell you. You better be prepared for the give and take, whether you are a father dealing with a child or whether you are a husband and wife dealing with how to raise your children. You need to be on the same sheet of music. You need to be supportive. And it just requires that listening, concerted effort, even when you don't know the answers, even when you're not sure about what the solution is, you still need to be working and trying to solve those things together and have that mutual respect and willingness to listen and give and make compromises and learn that you are not the center of the world. The world does not revolve around you.
Dad, I love you very much. It's been a great hour. Thank you so much for being the guest today.
Glad to do it, Rick. Love you too.
All right. So that's our first show on 97.9 The Wren. Look for us again next week. We hope to be here a long time. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy your Father's Day. Take care.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on Real Oldies 97.9 The Wren. The Wake Up Call is produced by Dan Gould. Show archives can be found at SeavillePodcast.com. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for The Wake Up Call, only on 97.9 The Wren.